Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Welcome, everyone, to a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM Radio. Thanks for listening on 1600 AM, 107.5 FM, 106.3 FM, or via our website, mobile app, what have you. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann today. Scott Unash was in Des Moines en route to Cedar Rapids to call yet another game tonight. We're going to talk to Scott here real shortly. Let's give you updates on news of the day at the Girls State Tournament, which we'll talk to Scott about. Center point Urbana punched its ticket to the Class 3A semifinals with a 67-31 victory over Wes Marshall. In 4A, an all-metro matchup that hasn't happened in more than a decade, Marion defeated Xavier 70-35 to move in to the semifinals. Marion trying to repeat as a girls' state basketball champion at the 100th state tournament. We're going to talk with Scott. We're going to talk with Bill Landis of The Athletic to preview tonight's Iowa-Ohio State Big Ten basketball game. We'll review Iowa State men and Iowa women victories last night and talk about a T-shirt that is being offered in Gary Gate Day 5. Afternoon, Kyle.
How are you doing today?
Doing well. I want to talk some Girls State basketball tournament action. Scott Unash in Newton, I think, right now, en route back to Cedar Rapids, and one of the hardest working people in the media these days. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Mark. Day 5, Gary Gay. Boy, I can't tell you how happy I am to be on the Girls' Day beat this week.
I bet you are. Hey, listen, you had two games already today at Wells Fargo in Des Moines. And you might have anticipated one blowout, but maybe not two. What say you?
No, I think you're right. First of all, let me say this for our beloved owner, Julie, and general manager, and et cetera. I am sitting off the road. I just ate, getting ready to go back on the road. So, you know, worth it, all that stuff. I am not driving while I'm talking. So,
excellent.
Center point Urbana was very impressive, and then I don't think we anticipated what was going to happen in the Marion-Xavier game. Marion just ran away with it in the second half, had a big run in the first late portion of the first quarter into the second quarter, and then the outside shooting just took over, and boy, they look good.
Yeah, they look poised to repeat. What does the 4A field look like in the next couple rounds?
Well, just got done with the Mason City game, and I was listening to that one before I talked with you, and Mason City beat Waverly Shell Rock by, I think, six or so, and so it'll be Mason City against Marion, which should be one whale of a semifinal coming up on Thursday. Of course, Mason City has Megan Meyer, the future Hawkeye. Mackenzie Meyer, her sister, is already in Iowa City playing for Lisa Bluter, and Megan's a terrific player as well. Good outside shooter, but she can also drive a little bit more than Mackenzie. So not quite the player she is. She can beat you both inside and outside. And, of course, Mason City plays in the CIML, which this year anyway seems to be the number one league out there, as they had eight teams at the state tournament, 7 in 5A and Mason City in 4A. So it should be a whale of a semifinal coming up, and then North Scott's going to be getting ready to play coming up here, and then later on it'll be Helan and Grinnell going at it.
One of the interesting aspects of the center point Urbana route, Scott, as I listened to your call on the game with Steve Dozier this morning, every player who played for center point Urbana got in the scoring column, and that's going to be something these girls will talk about for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. well, if somebody gets 2 points, it's going to end up being six at the 20th reunion. And it's going to be a half-court shot, and it's going to, you know, a lot of things are going to be added on to it. But, yeah, that was a neat thing for CPU. And everyone thought they were going to have a pretty easy time with West Marshall, but their pressure was just relentless and got out to a 30-point lead at halftime. And to a person down, as far as the media is concerned, the most dominating performance so far and the most impressive performance so far this week has been center point Urbana today. And a lot of people think they have a real legitimate shot to win the 3A state championship. Two tough games to go, but we'll see what happens.
You've, of course, got more work to do tonight, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But tomorrow, what a whale of a first-round matchup in 2A that you will call Trainer and North Lynn. Give us a preview of that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Jason Esslinger, the Girls High School Athletic Union media guy, said he thinks this is going to be the best first-round game in any class. With Trainer has a bunch of really good athletes, volleyball players, basketball players, what have you. And then, of course, for North Lynn, they've got the Flanagan sisters. They've got Kurt. They've got six or seven that they can bring in. Beat you inside. They can beat you outside. Ellie Ware had a big tournament game against Regina that we called a little bit earlier on. But it's going to be it is going to be a real war and highly anticipated game. And I think a high-scoring game is going to be anticipated as well. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun in that first game that we're going to have tomorrow at 11:30.
Great action tonight on KGYM Radio at 6:45, the pregame of Iowa City West and Davenport Central. That game in Muscatine on 106.3 FM. And, Scott, as if you didn't have anything better to do, you've got Linmar and Cedar Falls at the USL Center around 8 o'clock, I would think, 1600 and 107.5. What about that game?
Well, it's going to be fun. You got Cedar Falls with the defending state champions, athletes all over, Logan Wolf, Jackson Frericks. Wolf's going to play football, and he thinks basketball at UNI. Frericks is a preferred walk-on for Iowa for a tight end. Of course, they got Jack Campbell in the middle, the middle linebacker to be for the Iowa Hawkeye football team, and some really good guards. Just a really athletic Cedar Falls team, can beat you inside and outside. And then, of course, for Linmar, they're playing their best basketball of the year right now. Mm-hmm. Trey Hutchison, the Albany signee, leading the way. He's had a good senior year. Jaron Nelson in there. And just Stefan at the point guard. Just a lot of weapons that Linmar has. And the Lions are hungry. 2 years ago, A.J. Green beat him on a fall-away three to go to the state tournament in this game at the Cell Center. And Linmar, believe it or not, after going for, what, 8-9 years in a row, the longest streak, I think, of anybody, they haven't been there since Marcus Page went off in the overtime in 2012. So it's been a while since Linmar has been to the state tournament.
Interesting. And Linmar trying to be the second Marion team to reach the state tournament. How about the Marion Indians last night? The third game of the year against Maquoketa, and it was a terrific one.
Yeah, it was. Got to hear the end of it on the call with Morgan Hawk for us and did a great job with that, he and Phil. And, yeah, it came right down to the end, chance for some free throws, and it's a tough situation for the terrific player in Becker from Maquoketa. And just worked out for Marion, and that is a tough, scrappy team. Most of them saw him in the crowd today as they came down to support the girls. And it's a wide-open 3A field. Everyone knows about Oskaloosa. They know about Xavier Foster and Cole Henry, but they haven't been great this year. They are vulnerable. Jefferson beat him in a game we saw. It's just going to be a wide-open Class 3A field, and really anybody can win that thing.
Well, you've got plenty of action at the 100th Girls State Basketball Tournament yet this week. I doubt I'll see you the rest of the week, huh? I might have to stop out.
If we do, man.
Might have to stop out to Bowling Night in America tomorrow. Because you wouldn't miss that.
No. that works out, man. Thanks to, the scheduling for the basketball that we get bowling in this week. And the Donners would want me there, too.
Yes, they would.
We call the Donners.
Yes, they would. Hey, listen, Scott, thanks for joining us. I know you're eager to get back into town, and Keep up the great work at the Girls State Tournament.
All right. We'll see you later on in the week, hopefully, and see what happens.
Sounds good. Scott Unias checking in from somewhere on I-80. He's pulled over, not talking while he's driving. It's very important these days. Scott adhering to that principle.
Scott's worth it.
He is worth it. But, yes, he'll be on the call his third game of the day around 8 o'clock tonight. Lindmar and Cedar Falls in the 4A sub-state final from the U.S. Cell Center, 1600 AM and 107.5 FM. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a T-shirt being floated out there.
You guys want to do it?
Ryan Peck drives to rural towns every week, bringing music to kids who need it most.
From the top, ready?
He dreams of showing people the importance of music in a child's life. American Family Insurance is helping make that happen right now.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep
American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star certified agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
When it's sports you need, tune to KGYM. Great ESPN programming and live local sports. When it's smart rock you need, tune to Smart FM for great smart rock and weekend programming. Like the Beatles Buffet, Sunday mornings at 11. Looking for something a little off the beaten path? Chris Jackson's got you covered with Where It's At, Everything Alternative, Sunday nights at 6. Smart Rock on Smart FM.
You could win $500 in the I'm On Communications KGYM Bracket Challenge. Get details now at KGYMradio.com. I'm On Communications, your local choice for internet, cable TV, and phone.
I just want to listen to this for a little while, Kyle.
I like it.
Welcome back to the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you on this Tuesday. Thanks for joining us. 3:16, we're going to be joined at the bottom of the hour by Bill Landis of The Athletic to preview tonight's Iowa-Ohio State game in Columbus. Kyle, right now, I really didn't think preparing for the show today that I was going to go down the road of Gary Gate in day five, Gary Dolphin, Gary Barta situation. But then I saw, and I know you did as well, a website offering a free Dolph T-shirt. It's kind of hard to describe as I'm looking at it here, but it's very clear. The T-shirt includes a picture of an ape or gorilla, I'm not sure which, with a hard hat on. Is that what you would see as well? With hashtag free Dolph?
Yeah, I guess I don't know if it's a... I think of hard hat as like construction worker's hat. I almost see this as like a soldier's helmet, but along the same lines, yeah.
Well, it's being offered for between $20 and $23, depending on your shirt size. And I've refused to... share the website. It's easy enough to find if you care to. The problem I have with this, Kyle, is not only the depiction on the T-shirt, but if the organizer or organizers or owners of this website and Twitter feed are going to monetize this situation, I can say, take your shirts and shove it. If money's going to a worthy charity, which I don't know to be the case, that may be another story, but curious your reaction. Or folks out there who have seen it, are you going to buy it? What do you think about it? 319-366-1600, our Hurtin & Stocker Jeweler text line.
Yeah, this was actually the first thing that I saw when I woke up today. I woke up, pulled out my phone, and this was the first thing that I saw on Twitter. And, you know, I It's often said that we don't want to say the names of these places because we don't want to give them more attention than they already have. But I do want to say, we're talking about Hawkeye Heaven. It's a bad outlet. It's mostly a Facebook page, but they've expanded a little bit. But when I saw this, my biggest issue, like you said, first of all, is that the guy behind this is, you know, positioning himself to make money off of the unfortunate incident that's going on with Gary Dolphin and Bruno Fernando and all that. He's monetizing that for himself, which, you know, on the surface just does not sit well with me, doesn't sit well with you. It's exploitative at its core, and, you know, there's really nothing further than that. But then the other thing that really doesn't sit well with me is that it's supposed to be a fan page. You know, they masquerade as a page who's, you know, representing the Hawkeye fan base, and this misrepresents the Hawkeye fan base. This misrepresents Gary Dolphin, because if you go back to when this all happened last Friday, when it popped off, everybody's saying, you know, Gary Dolphin made a comment that can be misinterpreted as a racial epithet. You know, you might not like it, but it can be. That is a fact. But the point behind it, or at least for Dolph, the point for him is that that's never how it was supposed to be interpreted. But then for this shirt here to put a gorilla smack dab in the middle, put a hashtag free Dolph right on it, that doubles down on a sentiment that Gary Dolphin was never, ever trying to even, you know, touch on at all. You know, this whole race thing that's been brought into it, this was never supposed to be part of it. And now Hawkeye Heaven is doubling down on it and, you know, making it seem as if the fan base, as if Gary Dolphin, you know, are doubling down and saying this was racist and it's okay. That's what this shirt says to me, is that was a racist comment, and we're cool with that. That's what that says to me, and I don't think that is the sentiment here in Iowa at all.
David, 5259 on the Hurtin & Stocker Jeweler text line, just sent me an alternative T-shirt. It's basically a black tee with a gold rectangular area. It just says Free Dolph. And in the middle is a depiction of Gary Dolphin with his headset.
I think that's a great shirt that Dave just sent us. That's a good one. That, you know, that's Gary Dolphin. It's in support of Gary Dolphin, and it has no other elements to it at all.
1545 on the text line. Mark, do you remember the T-shirt depicting a noose around basketball ref Jim Bain's head during the Lute Olson era? I certainly do. And Kyle, you're not old enough to remember that, but Jim Bain was, should we say, not liked in this area for a call he made that cost the Iowa Hawkeyes and basically drummed out of town. And anytime that Bain showed up, he was the enemy of the people. I do remember that. You know, is this T-shirt entrepreneurial genius? Or is it offensive to you?
Spare me. It's incredibly offensive. Entrepreneurial genius. He might say that. He's, you know, I've seen him make comments that the fans were asking for a shirt, some way to show support for Dolphin. You know, we've got something on the text line. It is very simple. You know, free. You could just have a shirt that says Free Dolph. There was, for him to take the image of the gorilla, which he stole from a Detroit biking club, from what I understand, by the way, To incorporate the image of the monkey is completely uncalled for. It's inappropriate. It is the most racist thing of this entire story is what Hawkeye Heaven put together on that shirt. Disgraceful. And I before we get off the topic real quick, tell all your friends if they follow him on Facebook, if you see people sharing these posts, discourage that. Discourage it.
Well, this broke last Friday, and we've harped on it on local programming, this show and the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn, about the lack of transparency by the Iowa Athletic Director, Gary Barta, who has yet to issue a comment or answer questions about the situation. And in my opinion, just the athletic department just burying itself deeper and deeper. Now, maybe some of you have just moved on, and if so, that's fine. But Iowa at Ohio State tonight, Barta probably going to be there. He's not going to say anything tonight. So I just I don't know. On the text line, 3830 regarding the T-shirt, poor taste, no doubt. 2849, Gary Dolphin doesn't deserve to be saved. He said something that obviously had a negative connotation to it. This isn't the first time he said something stupid. His explanation was horrendous. He deserves to be fired. Now, the difference in the two suspensions, the first one, Gary, unbeknownst to him, made some comments when his mic was still live. He thought he and Bob Hansen were in a commercial break, and he was making some comments to Bob about Macy Daly and why can't Iowa recruit athletes like whatever team they were playing. Team was playing very good and had a couple good athletes. But this was on the air. And, you know, we've been over this with varying opinions about whether racially charged, shall we say. I'm still of the opinion that Gary Dolphin meant nothing more than that Bruno Fernando was an absolute dominant player on the inside. Nothing more, nothing less. 0843, Mark, I'm incredibly happy that we agree on the shirt issue. I finally had to unfollow Hawkeye Heaven last night when I saw the shirt. Thank you, Melissa. I refuse to share the website. It's easy enough to find. A lot of people follow it anyway. But, again, I didn't want to go down that road with Gary Gate again today, but this pops up. I'm sure something more will pop up tomorrow. Hopefully, it'll be Gary Barta stepping to the podium and saying something.
Wouldn't that be
nice? I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah, probably not.
All right, let's move on. More news of the day. Nolan Arenado, Rockies third baseman, has agreed to an $8 million, 8-year, $255 million contract, Kyle. And do the math, and that's about $31 million plus per year. And it's fairly well known Bryce Harper is not signed yet. He was asking 10 years, $300 million. So what's this going to do to the Bryce Harper market?
I think we know the answer to that. It's just another thing that Scott Boras can point at and say, you know, look at that deal there. 8 years, huh? And I guess I really don't think Scott Boras needed any more ammunition after what the Padres gave Machado. But really, this just is another thing to file away on the side of there is still money to go around in baseball. The idea that, you know, the money was gone and we couldn't afford to give out these mega contracts anymore, you know, it's bunk. After seeing what Machado got, the Rockies give this to Arenado today, the money is still there. It's just a matter of when somebody wants to give it out.
The acknowledged front runner right now is the Dodgers. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Knowing what I know about the lineup, it would increase the left-handed bats in the lineup. Harper is from Las Vegas, close to home, much closer than Philadelphia. Philadelphia still in contention, I think. I just think the Dodgers make too much sense.
I think you're right. That just being Los Angeles, knowing what we've known about Bryce Harper over the past few years, it has just felt like he wants to be in a major market. For a long time I thought that was Chicago. A lot of people thought it was New York. But maybe it's Los Angeles. And what's really interesting to me about Bryce Harper's situation is, you know, by all accounts, who's to say what the Dodgers are offering as of right now? I have not seen any sort of, you know, speculation what the Dodgers might be offering currently. But by all accounts, the Phillies are kind of the team closest to that San Diego Padres Machado deal. They've got the years, they've got the money. But what's interesting to me is that now that Bryce Harper actually has a deal on the table, I don't know if he wants to play for the Phillies. Similarly, I don't know if Machado actually wants to play for the Padres, and that's probably why it took so long for him to agree to that, because if the Padres were the only team offering that, he was probably waiting all along for somebody else to match it or at least get close. So he didn't. So maybe he could play for a good team right now in a little bit more relevant market. I think Bryce Harper might sort of be doing the same thing. He's got his offer from the Phillies, and he's all this time he's been waiting for somebody else with a better team in a better city to come with a similar offer, and I don't think it's coming. And so I'm curious, if he ends up in Los Angeles, is it going to be one of three things? It's he gets a mega deal and the Dodgers just took forever to offer it, or he takes a short-term deal for you know, high value, and he's just going to try again in a few years, or he's going to take way less money. I'm just curious to see what's going to happen here if it's not the Phillies. Because if it's the Phillies, I think he'll get a pretty big deal. But if it's anywhere other than that, he's going to have to make some concessions.
I think he's going to end up on the West Coast, be it Los Angeles or San Diego. If you look into his numbers in Philadelphia, that's one park where he has excelled big time.
Yeah.
His home run rate is the best of any parks. He's been wildly successful in Philadelphia. But you want to live in Philadelphia or L.A.? San Diego.
Exactly.
Huh? Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk Iowa Ohio State basketball tonight. Tip coming up in about 2.5 hours. Big Ten basketball tonight. We'll talk to Bill Landis in a minute.
Let's be real, fellas. Shopping's terrible. Waiting in long lines, cramped dressing rooms, endlessly searching for your size. Personally, I've never found the idea of going to the store and scavenging for clothes appealing. So if you're like me, stop what you're doing and listen. Those days are over. I'm here to tell you about Bombfell. It's the easiest way for guys to get better clothes. No shopping required. What they do is they match you up with a dedicated personal stylist who sends you your clothes from the best brands based on your fit and taste. They send it right to your door. You try everything on at home in the comfort of your own home and pay only for what you keep. Send back the rest with free return shipping. It's that simple. You even get up to 20% off when you buy multiple items. So what are you waiting for? See for yourself what hundreds of thousands of men across the country are talking about. Get started with Bombfell today. Visit bombfell.com/will and get $25 off your first purchase. That's bombfell.com/will for $25 off. That's bombfell.com/will, bombfell.com/will.
Springtime is almost here. It's the perfect time to tackle the next job on your list. And AutoZone has the free services to help you do it. With the AutoZone Rewards Program, members get more, like a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. And right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic or Full Synthetic High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for $17.99 after a $15 AutoZone gift card by mail. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Go to Pennzoil.com/oil change offer to save. Terms apply.
We could just jam out all day long, couldn't we, Kyle?
This is the only time I ever get to hear these songs.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today. Scott Unash in Des Moines, at least was in Des Moines, calling the girls' state basketball tournament. If you missed it, Center Point Urbana defeating West Marshall today 67-31, and Marion defeated Xavier 70-35. Those quarterfinal matchups today. He will be at the USL Center tonight to call Linmar and Cedar Falls a sub-state boys' final, and be back in Des Moines tomorrow, 11:45, on the air for North Lynn and Trainer. Let's offer our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. It's a good segue to our next guest. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway for sponsoring it. Emil's located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Will Iowa add another Big Ten road win to its resume tonight? Yes or no? Go ahead and vote, KGYMradio.com. I don't expect Bill Landis to vote, but we're very pleased he could take the time to join us today. Bill Landis writes for The Athletic, covering Ohio State football and basketball. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Very good. Ohio State favored by 3 tonight. This is a team that was 12-1 at one point. What's happened since then?
A lot of inconsistency. I think since the last time they played Iowa, I believe they're 5-6, if I have that correct. The offense has been pretty consistently just kind of average, and on some nights it's been very bad. The defense has been mostly pretty good, but in that they have not really been able to beat anybody at the top of the Big Ten. So they've beaten a couple of teams below them. They lost to Illinois at home. That was a bad loss, and they've had plenty of opportunity, including at home, to knock off some of these teams at the top of the league, and they just haven't been quite good enough to do it.
Based on the Big Ten record, Bill, it would appear, outside looking in, that this team could just phone it in, or is the team still mentioned in bracketology with a lot of motivation? What do you see?
Yeah, they've talked about that. It's kind of, if you look at their resume, it does not look like the resume of an NCAA tournament team, and I'm no bracketologist myself, but everyone who does that seems to think that Ohio State is still in decent position to get in. It can't lose. If it were to lose out, that obviously changes. But the consensus seems that if it can go 2-2 in its last four games, that might be enough. And I think the team knows that. They have the most winnable game they have is a road trip to Northwestern next week, and then they have three games against ranked teams starting tonight. And I think there is a little bit of a sense of urgency. They know they're sort of playing for their NCAA tournament life, and it's kind of strange that they're still in that position, given their relatively unimpressive resume.
Second leading scorer on this team, guard C.J. Jackson, missed the last game with a shoulder injury. What's his status?
So yesterday before practice, the status was that they were pretty optimistic that he would play. That changed after practice. He's not been ruled out. I think he's going to try to give it a go, but they're not super optimistic, I think, right now that he'll be his full self. And if he's not, like you said, Ohio State's down at second leading scorer, starting point guard, one of the two seniors it has on the roster. So they were okay at Maryland without him. They still lost, and I think they would need him tonight to have a shot to beat Iowa.
Bill, last time around, the Hawkeyes won this matchup 72-62, thanks largely to Tyler Cook and Luka Garza having really, really efficient games down low. What can the Buckeyes do to kind of defend those guys a little bit better than last time around?
Yeah, it's a tough matchup for Ohio State because Caleb Wesson is not a super athletic guy, certainly not as athletic as Tyler Cook, maybe a little more evenly matched with Luka Garza, but Caleb also struggles with physicality sometimes, and Luka obviously brings that. It's going to take Caleb to be really dialed in, I think. There have been times when Ohio State has played sort of formidable front court players that they've given Caleb some help and trapped in the post, and I think they did a little bit of that when they played in Iowa City last time, but not a ton, and I think they've done it a little more of late. So I think you'll see them throw a lot of bodies at Tyler and Luka. And it's a dangerous prospect when you consider how well Iowa can shoot the ball. But I guess it's sort of pick your poison with the way that Iowa is on offense. So I would imagine that Ohio State's going to try to throw a lot of bodies at those two and hope that the shooters don't have a good night on the road.
Yeah, Caleb Wesson's going to have his hands full just defending those guys. But also looking back at that last matchup between these two teams, Caleb Wesson had undeniably his worst game of the season against the Hawkeyes. Only 2 points, 1 of 5 from the floor, five turnovers, 4 fouls.
Got into foul trouble, yeah.
Yeah. What was wrong with him the first time around, and how can he avoid that this time?
Well, a major problem for Caleb really all season has been sort of how he handles the emotions of being in a game where he's, from his perspective, not being officiated all that fairly. I'm not saying that was the case in Iowa City. I can't remember exactly the nature of the foul calls in that game. But usually when Caleb's called for them, they're deserved. And at that time, he was not doing a very good job of sort of playing through that. He's been better at that lately. he's mostly been staying out of foul trouble, and part of that is they're giving him help on defense, so he's not picking up the cheap ones on that end. But he's a sophomore who has a lot on his shoulders and not a lot of offensive firepower around him, so you can kind of key on him and take him out of the game and really slow down Ohio State. And I think that was a time when he was really struggling with that attention. He's been a little bit better with it lately. He's still not great with it, but I think he's a little more mature now than he was then.
Visiting with Bill Landis of The Athletic on today's Gym Class at 3:39. Bill, you kind of alluded to it, picking your poison with Iowa. I mean, as Kyle mentioned, the last game where Cook and Garza were efficient, but you're aware of Jordan Bohannon's heroics, and Wieskamp has a game, Moss has a game, Bear is there. So it really is pick your poison, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They're a really well-balanced team. And if you look at the numbers, they're one of the better offensive teams in the country. That's not surprising, given everything they had coming back. Ohio State has been a pretty good, you know, like team defensive team. I don't know if they have any one guy you point to right now and say that's a lockdown defender that you could throw at a team's best shooter, or maybe throw up a hand in late in the game and try to make sure he doesn't bank one or hit a three on you at the end of the game. But yeah, it's I would say it's probably the toughest team to defend in the Big Ten just because of how much they throw at you. Maybe it's not the most talented, but there's a lot of balance, and I think balance often wins out. And I was really tough to defend.
Tonight's game coming up in a little less than 2.5 hours. Again, Ohio State, a 3-point favorite. And how would you categorize this season up till now for Ohio State?
I think it's been mostly what should have been expected. You mentioned the 12-1 start at the top there, and that sort of altered the expectations of the fan base, I think, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They've since come back down to earth, but they lost so much from last year. It's not, when you look at the roster and sort of what they were when these guys were recruited, there's not a lot of blue-chip high school talent on the roster. There's a couple of transfers in there. It's just the reason Chris Holtmann is in this job is because of how the roster had been put together the last 2 or 3 years before he got there. It just wasn't a very good job done by Thad Matta and his staff, and you're sort of seeing the ramifications of that now. And they have some decent pieces, but they really got to be firing all cylinders, I think, to be a team that's competitive at the top of the Big Ten, and they haven't been able to do that this year. And you know, I picked them to finish eighth. I think that's where they were picked to finish sort of consensus-wise at the beginning of the season, and they're seventh right now. So they're about what they should have been. It's just that the 12-1 start to the season and a couple nice road wins they had in the non-conference play have made it, I think, a little less acceptable in some of the fan base's eyes.
Bill, I'm curious, are folks your way aware of the suspension of Iowa's play-by-play announcer? And if so, has there been any reaction?
You know what? I don't think that they are. To be totally honest, I'm not totally aware of it.
Okay, all right, and that's fine. I wish we weren't aware of it either. Go ahead, Kyle.
I kind of just have, you know, you started the interview talking about how you look at the resume here, and you know Ohio State's really not that impressive, or doesn't have that impressive of a resume this year, but yet people refer to them as being on the NCAA bubble. But then you look at some numbers. They're 0-7 versus the top six in the Big Ten, but 7-2 against the bottom seven. They have not beat a ranked team this year. So do you kind of think that this Ohio State just kind of is what it is? It is where it should be?
I think they're like, in terms of their standing for the NCAA tournament, I think they're in a kind of a favorable position based on how the season has gone. And I guess that's the new net ratings, and they're sort of working in the efficiency margins into that weren't really part of the RIP equation. And if you look at Ohio State's efficiency numbers, they're decent. Their defense is pretty good. Their offense is above average. So I think that's what's helping them keep their head above water right now. But you mentioned the record against the teams at the top of the league. They're 0-7. If they don't get a win there, I don't see how they get into the tournament. I know that there are a lot of teams with sub 500 conference records that will likely get in, and that your conference record isn't really on the team sheet when they look at you. But I don't know how a team that doesn't have really anything in the way of a marquee win outside of a win in its first game of the season at Cincinnati to get into the tournament.
I think the bubble's pretty weak this year, actually, Bill. And I want to talk to you. You've seen all the teams in the Big Ten, and we talked yesterday about Coach of the Year, and some folks think Fran McCaffrey ought to get some love there. He's six games and growing above what he did last year. But I look at Tom Izzo without two of the top players and what he's done, including last weekend beating Michigan in Ann Arbor. And then you have Matt Painter at Purdue and maybe even Mark Turgeon at Maryland. I don't know how much thought you've given to the Coach of the Year race, but maybe you can now.
Yeah, I haven't thought of it a bunch. I think all the names you mentioned make sense. If I were voting today, I think I might pick Izzo just based of what you said about, you know, they're down two all Big Ten caliber players and they go up to Michigan and win. They've been down, they've been down Langford basically the entire year and haven't really seemed to felt any great effect of that. I know it's always hard with a coach like Izzo who has a lot of track record of success and usually has a pretty talented roster. Those guys, you know, sometimes don't win Coach of the Year. I wouldn't vote for Steve Fikeel at Rutgers, but I think he would deserve some recognition for what he's building out there. Nobody in this league wants to play Rutgers, and I think it was that way last year, but now they're starting to win some of these games. I don't know if the turnaround's been so great that he would get any kind of considerable consideration in the Big Ten Coach of the Year race, but you know, if you were ranking, you know, three or four guys, I think I might have Fikeel on that list too.
Second half of the season might be Brad Underwood at Illinois too.
Mm-hmm.
But
both of that, whoever draws Illinois and Rutgers in the first round of the Big Ten tournament is not going to be happy. I would not want to be playing either of those teams.
I would agree. Bill Landis of The Athletic joining us in advance of the Iowa Ohio State game tonight. Bill, you also cover Ohio State football, and I wanted to ask you about Dwayne Haskins and his NFL stock, how you perceive it, how you think he might translate to the NFL. There's debate whether he will be the first quarterback taken or it'll be Murray or what have you. Just curious about your perspective there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that it seems to be a rather, you know, sizable opinion that Kyler Murray is a better NFL prospect than Dwayne Haskins, and I don't know if I think that. I think Kyler Murray is definitely the better athlete. I don't think anybody would question that. And if you look at some of the quarterbacks that have been taken over the last few years early in the draft, you have some top-level athletes, and maybe that's what it is. But Dwayne's got the size. I think he's got a more accurate arm. I think he's maybe a little more built for the NFL than Kyler Murray is. So I like Dwayne a lot. I don't know if I'd take him with the first overall pick. I don't know if I would trade up for Dwayne, but I don't think I'd trade up for Kyler Murray either. I know teams sort of do that anyway. But I think Dwayne has the makeup of a guy who's going to be a long-time NFL starter. Outside of the talent, he's a really smart guy. If you ever have the opportunity to talk to him or listen to him talk, for a guy who only started 1 year, he seems to have a pretty strong grasp on offensive football. And I don't know if he'll be like a rah-rah, you know, captain leader kind of guy, but he's really smart, and I think he's talented. He's got the arm you want in the NFL, and I think he's going to be really good.
And I think Ohio State will be okay at quarterback next year, right?
Yeah, they happen to luck into the number one or whatever you talk about, the number one or number two quarterback from the class of 2018. It's funny how that works out. So, yeah, that was kind of a crazy thing. But they go from Dwayne Haskins to a guy who, at least on paper, is probably a little more talented. It's a different kind of style, but certainly has just as much, if not more, talent than Dwayne.
Iowa will not see Ohio State next year, but I think back on the schedule in 2020. So, keys to the game tonight, Bill.
Ohio State turned it over 21 times, I believe, though, when they played in Iowa City. It's been a season-long problem for Ohio State. I think there's a couple of games that you can point to and say if they were only, you know, turned it over even 15 times or less than 20 times, they would have won a game. So the biggest thing that I look at is Ohio State holding on to the ball, not having careless live ball turnovers. It'll be interesting to see if C.J. Jackson plays. He does turn the ball over quite a bit, but he also is sort of the guy who makes the offense go. It's a bit of a catch-22 with them. He didn't play, and they didn't turn it over last week, so it was kind of a strange occurrence at Maryland. So if Ohio State can hold on to the ball and shoot jump shots a little better than they shot in Iowa City, I think they have a shot, because I do think, for as good as we said that Iowa's offense is and as much balance as there is, I thought Ohio State defended them pretty well, considering what the outcome of that game was up there. So if Ohio State can function better offensively than it did there, which was one of its worst games of the year, I think Ohio State's got a shot, and I think that's why they're favored tonight.
Bill Landis, thanks so much for joining us today, taking time out of your day, and enjoy the game tonight, Bill, okay?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Bill Landis of The Athletic talking about tonight's Iowa-Ohio State basketball game coming up in just a little bit more than 2 hours. And, you know, we say it every game. It's a big game. And Anytime Iowa's had a lot of success on the road this year. I think 4-3 in the Big Ten. And whether it can pull off another road victory remains to be seen. But Iowa, an underdog tonight. And we'll see. I think C.J. Jackson, whether he can play or not, that's going to be a fairly important issue tonight.
Yeah, obviously it would be in Iowa's favor if he can't go. You know, I think Iowa's susceptible to struggling with guards who can penetrate and just kind of be those microwave-type offensive weapons they can struggle with at times. So, you know, don't want him to be hurt, but if he is, it'll definitely be in the Hawkeyes' favor.
Let's go to a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more on the Gym Class.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
In sports, as in life, the best rise to the top. That's how college brackets work, and it's how Third Base Brewery has curated their in-house brews for the past 20 years. Only the greatest survive. Maybe that's why friends come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in and watch the madness unfold at Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the Gym Class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back to the Gym Class 351 on this Tuesday. Thanks for joining us. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today. Again, Scott Unash en route back to Cedar Rapids after calling two Eastern Iowa victories in the girls' state basketball tournament today. Programming tonight, another reminder, 6:45 on the South Gym, 106.3 FM. It'll be Iowa City West and Davenport Central vying for a state tournament berth. And then just around 8 o'clock, 4A boys sub-state final action, Linmar and Cedar Falls. Scott Unash on the call, 1600 AM and 107.5 FM. Last night, Kyle, Iowa State came through with a much-needed victory, the Iowa State men, that is, over Oklahoma, 78-61. It was a dominant performance. Iowa State moves to 9-6 in the Big 12, but I thought the story of last night, there's still Kansas. Kansas beating Kansas State last night to move within a game of the Wildcats. Kansas State 11-4, Texas Tech 10-4, Kansas 10-5.
You didn't think they were just going to lay down, did you? It really is impressive. One of the most impressive things in all of college sports, I think, to me, is that Bill Self has had Kansas, you know, that good for that long in that conference. There's just no way that they were just going to roll over the way they were. Would they get down to three games out of first at one point or something like that? There was no way it was going to stay that way.
It's going to be a race to the finish. There's no question about it. Iowa State probably out of it, two games behind with four teams in front of it. But Cyclones, again, with a much-needed win, they had lost three out of the last four. And then the Iowa women, in a place where it's been difficult to win, Iowa taking down Nebraska last night, 74-58. Megan Gustafson doing Gustafson things. 29 points, 20 rebounds. She is this week's Big Ten Player of the Week. She will be next week's Big Ten Player of the Week.
She, I believe that 20 rebounds last night is a career high. If Megan Gustafson at this point in her career is still setting career highs, then she had a pretty impressive night.
Maryland clinching at least a tie of the Big Ten Women's Basketball Championship with a victory last night. For Iowa to get a piece of that title, Maryland's going to have to fall, and it doesn't look that likely to me. Again, the poll question at KGYMRadio.com coming up in about 2 hours. Iowa and Ohio State men's basketball. Will Iowa add another Big Ten road win to its resume tonight? Yes or no? And right now, early returns are 50, right around 50-50. That's where our listeners are weighing in. So I think that demonstrates what kind of game it might be tonight.
What do you expect?
Iowa has some confidence on the road.
I think so, too.
I think Ohio State's a dangerous team if Wesson can stay out of foul trouble. But you, in the interview with Bill Landis, you made an interesting point that about not only Wesson getting into foul trouble, but Garza and Cook having very good games. And Cook's been a lot more consistent than Garza. Don't try any three-pointers, Luka. Stay in your lane.
Go ahead.
Fran McCaffrey, I think, gives him a green light. But when was the last time he made one?
Well, he's streaky, and honestly, I believe I'm in the minority on this. I even go back to last season. I think I talked to Alex Kuhn about this a couple times last season. Luka Garza is not a dead-eye shooter, but at 6'11", you know, he is your center. He is a good enough shooter to make one every now and then, and if he stops shooting them entirely, then the defense doesn't have to respect it, and so I don't want him taking a ton of threes. I'm on board with that. But I do support his ability to take open threes because that, like Bill Landis said, Iowa's one of the most hard-to-defend teams in the conference. And one of the reasons for that is that everybody on the floor is a weapon in one way or another.
He's fifth, sixth, seventh on the list on the Iowa roster that I want somebody taking a three.
You're right. They have a lot of good shooters.
I know he can make them. Get on the box. Run the high-low with Cook. Just stay in your lane, as I said.
I at least for tonight, I think you're right. Because like Bill Landis told us, Wesson is not a particularly athletic guy. And especially, more so for Tyler Cook. But they just need to keep the pressure on them down low with Wesson and some of those guys.
Tomorrow on the program, Kyle will join me again tomorrow. It'll be Mark Ironside reviewing what was not a very good outing in Stillwater, Oklahoma, a 27-12 Iowa loss in wrestling to Oklahoma State. We'll also talk about UNI's victory over Iowa State, at least the second year in a row that's happened. Really great atmosphere up there in the West Gym. In Cedar Falls. But we'll talk with Mark about that. Pat Lugo, by the way, Iowa wrestler, named Big Ten Wrestler of the Week. So that's coming up tomorrow on the gym class. One more reminder of programming tonight. Iowa City West Emport Central Boys, 106.3 FM at 6:45. Lindmar Cedar Falls at around 8 o'clock, 1600 a.m., and 107.5 FM. Do not buy that Free Dolph T-shirt, please.
Unfollow.
Kyle, thanks so much, and thank you for listening and joining us today on the Gym Class. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You travel a lot, don't you?
Well, in business, yes. In basketball, never.
Well, if you're traveling for work, La Quinta by Wyndham has what you need to win on the road.
I mean, you get a spacious work area right in your room, plus charging areas for at least five devices.
And do not forget their hearty, bright side breakfast with waffles, eggs, and meat.
Oh, that's a triple threat.
It's like having home court advantage even when you're away.
Step up your road game and win at business with La Quinta.
Get the best rate guaranteed when you book at LQ.com.
Swish.
Progressive presents Get Pumped, inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.